WMFO 91.5 FM, West Street Trio.
Thank you. Thank you.
6 minutes. West Street Trio, WMFO 91.5.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana. We'll be right back.
On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Jason Lane. Binary System and some avant-garde from Roger Miller of Mission to Burma. That is his project. And before that, we did Daniel Ouellette and Shobujin. I always mess that up because, you know, I have that dyslexia thing with the L and the J. So it's Under the Couch. Both of those tracks are off of the Live from Studio D, the very best of On the Town with Mikey D, Volume 1, which will be on sale next week as we celebrate 30 years of On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 WMFO at Sally O'Brien's, headlining night one on Thursday, the 2nd of May, Permafrost, headlining night two, May 3rd, The Lights Out. For more information, follow Mikey D, On the Town Mikey D on our Facebook page. Also playing that show will be this band, the Barneys. They'll be performing on the 3rd. This is, what are we going to do by them? Decibel. How does that sound? Sounds good to me. On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 WMFO Medford. I have in front of me our performers. They were live in Studio D. I'd like to welcome the West Side Trio.
West Street Trio.
West Street Trio, excuse me. I'm terribly sorry. West Street.
So are we.
West Street Trio.
You're the second person to do that, though. So
it's hard because.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't have minded West Side Trio, but I didn't. We came with West Street first.
All right, I'm just going to pot you up a little bit. If you wouldn't mind getting a little bit closer to the mic there, so we can get the full timbre of your wonderful voice.
Oh boy.
So the West Street Trio is, you would describe yourself as a freeform jazz outfit.
Yeah.
I don't know jazz, but the experimental part.
Yeah. I don't know the jazz part, but the experimental part.
It's basically totally spontaneous. There's no pre anything. There's no key agreed on. There's no rhythm agreed on.
Right.
Okay.
It's just
go out there and blow.
We look at each other and go.
Right.
So when you're crafting a song, is it a complete improvisation?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So each performance is different than the one prior.
Yes.
Right.
Always.
But we still have like our influences. Like one way to describe the sound is like if you take Eric Dolphy, Captain Beefheart, and Bill Frisell and put them on a pot and stir them, and you know, something will come up because.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good way because I mean our influence comes, you know, during the performance process. But we just try to communicate a message, you know.
It's probably the one thing is it's totally interactive at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically just reacting to the sound environment.
So if you hear like a certain rhythm,
there's no logic.
There's no logic at all.
There's no conscious.
It's an unconscious emotional outburst.
I hear something and I react.
Right.
Once we start thinking, it'll sound like a song.
Yeah.
Right.
And we don't want to do that.
And we'll probably be paralyzed. I know I would be if I tried to think and play at the same time.
I mean, tonight is the most groove I've played in a very, very long time.
When you say that's the most groove, it's you just picked
straight,
up on something.
A straight.
And is a groove a repetitive thing?
Yeah, the rhythmic phrase.
Yeah.
The rhythmic phrase is, you know, it's a drum part per se.
Interesting.
Which I normally don't do.
Right. Yeah.
My choice.
What it did to me is it did kind of take me away from reality.
The word I've been hearing a lot in the past year is transformed.
Okay.
Transported.
I felt the transportation in
and
a way.
While we're playing, we're driving too. You know, we're transported as well.
And it's not from point A to B. It's from like point P to point X.
I mean, our fusions are like Africa and space.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona and the ocean. You know, that's fusion.
You're surfing in Arizona.
Yeah. Arizona's new red sand.
You're flying underground.
I think of it as it's almost a meditative state, except it's not peaceful.
Well, it's aggressive.
Yeah.
It's aggressive. Yeah, it's violent. But that's the universe we live in, right?
Well, this music is good for slitting somebody's throat, throwing somebody down the stairs, car chases. You know, movie producers would love this stuff.
I like the I mean, I think like early 70s car chase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, things were, you know, there was a lot of that kind of thing in scoring of movies.
Well, if we had a movie in front of us, I think we'd be very, very good at doing it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
As a project, thank you very much.
If anyone in Los Angeles is listening, any of our former Boston people that work in Hollywood, the West Street Trio is for hire. So I just want to play a little excerpt of something for you, and then I want you to just explain it.
Okay.
And even though, and just go with me on this experiment, because I want people to understand what it's like to be an improvisational experimental performer and just, you know, get inside your mind. And again, I'm only going to play probably about 20 or 30 seconds of it. So you call this Loads of Loads.
What is, okay.
It's off of this. At Stella Blues.
Okay.
It's a live. Oh, okay. Is this a live performance?
Like, all right.
That's
all right. I just want to play this real quick for about 30 seconds. So
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, that song.
All right, here we go. So are you picking up on the vibe of the audience here?
Yeah, kind of. Stella is a really strange venue because they don't.
No one listening. There's a bar.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's a whole bar. Everybody's talking at the bar.
I'm not sure if this is the one where we're being harassed by the drunks wanting us to do a karaoke.
Oh, no. There was a girl came up.
Okay.
And she came up and she wanted us to sing with our band. But
two girls and a guy. And she was totally blitzed.
Yeah.
And
that happens, doesn't it?
She couldn't understand why we didn't do karaoke.
She was probably looking for some Journey or something, right?
Something. Yeah.
What type of place is this?
It's a bar.
It's a regular bar.
Yeah. It's a bar. They do a lot of local
And when New Haven, Connecticut. So it's like college kids and stuff.
Basically.
Yeah.
All right. And this is what you're playing. I hear the rowdiness in the background, and it really makes the performance. Kind of like, you know, I think of like a John Cage type of situation
there. You're right. The audience is the fourth member.
Makes an interesting background.
You're actually following some rhythmic patterns of the banter of the crowd.
You can't really help it. If you can hear it, you'll be affected by it.
Right. And you guys are such seasoned musicians that it just, you're unconscious. Because I was watching you play the saxophone and watching your fingers.
Yeah.
And it almost looked like a spasm.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Especially when I'm doing the, I don't know what you want to call it, but there's standard fingering.
Yeah.
Which people use in a classical sense and a jazz sense. And then there's ones where you come up with harmonics because you're misfingering.
Right.
And at a certain point, that becomes unconscious.
And again, accidental.
Yeah.
Which adds to the performance.
Like, yes, and you're reacting to your own accidents.
Yeah.
So you're riffing off yourself, so to speak, own accidents.
It's like Bob Ross, happy accidents.
Yeah.
It's like science.
So you guys never go into a studio and record anything. It's always live.
Oh well, even if we do it in the studio, it's a lot like this.
Yeah,
where we'll sometimes we'll collect all sorts of friends and we'll mix up different groups.
Because I look at it like a studio as just kind of a.
It's just a way.
Depending on what studio you're in, but it's kind of a barren, sterile environment in some situations.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the interaction is between ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you know, as opposed to interacting with a drunk.
Which, I mean, from what we're listening to, though, it really is providing a really interesting canvas for your musical doodling
for
here.
For their drinking.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's also interesting that a lot of people that you wouldn't think would respond to it do.
Right.
Yeah.
Positively, which is really interesting.
Yeah, that's the beauty of playing those type of venues, because they don't have that expectation of, like, this is a country band or this is a blues band. They just...
They have
see
no
the
idea.
Instruments and they just right. You know.
Usually they see a saxophone and say, "Well, this must be jazz or blues."
Yeah.
Well, what I was expecting was, you know, I like a lot of experimental, like freeform, post-punk, like no wave stuff.
Yeah.
I was expecting something more along those lines, but this is something that definitely.
It's a lot more acoustic.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I've resisted using a lot, and I did when I was younger. I played sax with a lot of effects on it. And you know, tremolo, reverb, chorus, whatever you can think of, and feedback and everything.
Right.
But more lately, I've felt that's too easy to get lost in.
I just wanted to take a second just to let people know who we're talking to. It's the West Street Trio, and which one of you is Steve? Steve. Chalemi?
Yes.
Steve Chalemi. And I say your names because you guys are all also individually, you know, extremely seasoned and impressive musicians, so I want people to know you. And you were the drummer, correct, Steve?
Yes.
And you must be John D. Venter.
Yep.
And you were the saxophone player.
Yeah.
And Federico Balducci. Federico, you are not from the United States originally.
No.
Are you Italian?
No, well, my family, but yeah.
I get excited because I'm a Jersey Italian.
Uh huh.
So I say gabagool, even though that's not how you really say it.
Gabagool.
Yeah. He's the real Italian.
See, I think it depends on what part of Jersey, because some people say gabagool, some people say gabagool.
I'm from New Haven, so.
Yeah, maybe it's a little different.
Yeah, the water's different. Yeah.
But we all came from, you know, Napoli, so.
Navidan and Sicily.
There
my
you
father,
go.
Sicily.
I have a little Sicilian, too.
We could both be made guys.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd be more like a Jimmy Conway, though, because I'm part Irish, so, from Goodfellas. Anyway. So, I just want to talk, you know, we have, like, about 5 minutes or so, but talk to me about how you became the musician you are, Federico, first.
Yeah, that's a long journey.
Of course.
So, I don't know, I saw a concert of Randy Rhoads with Ozzy Osbourne, and I just got attracted by his approach to guitars. He was this type of musician who was really passionate about classical guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this...
I didn't realize that. See, I learned something new every day.
Yeah, so he used to, every time that he went on tour, he would look for some classical guitar teacher just to get his chops. So yeah, that kind of like got me started like into, you can be something else as opposed to just, you know, playing rock guitar.
People don't get their chops anymore.
Right.
It's like you just bang on like a mini Korg and then you throw it on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
No offense to myself or any of my friends, but, you know, I mean, I'm a garage musician, if you will.
That's okay. I mean, if it's helped you to, you know, get the message that you have in your, across.
It's almost like a therapy or, you know, I just have to, it's like a mark making or just it's just an emotional kind of, bellow, if you will.
Yeah.
But Randy Rhoads, this is what I want the listener to kind of grasp, is that it started from Randy Rhoads.
Yeah. So
it didn't start from like Ornette Coleman or Charles Mingus, like I was thinking at the beginning.
No. It started with Randy, and then I got into classical guitar. I did some years at a
flamenco style.
More classical.
Yeah.
I did some years at a conservatory, and then I did some Berkeley and, you know, a lot of other college. But it just that whole obsession of understanding music to fulfill that whole process of getting from point A to point B flawlessly, as opposed to, you know, making...
And now you go from point X to point P.
Yeah, because of these guys, you know, in a way, I love playing with them because they force me to get out of my comfort zone. You know, that's what John mentioning in the beginning, like if we played a straight song, we probably will get lost because, you know, concepts come things like, oh, this chord should be matched with this chord, so that kind of like taints the whole idea versus cool.
I don't think we could get through a song.
I even if I knew the song,
we'd want to change it anyway because us.
I would just not be able to resist.
Steve, tell me about your background.
That's John.
John, sorry.
I was as a teenager, I was totally naive in terms of music. I was listening to like Bob Crew Generation. And what's the trumpet player from Mexico? Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
Herb Alpert.
That was and my sister collection, which was like the Battle of New Orleans and stuff. So I happened to run into a mutual friend of ours, Jeff Fisher, who had older siblings that introduced him to his older sister introduced him to all sorts of music. So I went from that to the deep end.
Okay.
He introduced me to Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
Until my head split.
Well, that's very obvious now that I reflect on your performance.
And late Coltrane.
Yeah.
Actually, it was just about the time, just maybe around the time Coltrane died, even 67.
Okay.
And later on, what he did, somebody happened to leave a saxophone laying around, and I think a clarinet too. And so he started playing that, and I decided, well, I'm going to try that. But the way I describe it, I'm a saxophonist trained by wolves. In other words, I have study music on my own. I even took, you know, theory lessons and stuff, but mostly it's just listen and play with it. And so he would provide me with a musical structure or a musical environment and let me go at it. And I played flute, clarinet, and saxophone. And the interesting part about it is that clarinet leaked like a sieve. I mean, the sax did.
Yeah.
So I was getting all sorts of notes that I probably wasn't supposed to be able to get out of it.
So that's interesting. It just, it sets you on a, even that little nuance sets you on a journey.
And it's funny because, I mean, I was exposed to a lot of blues. That was the heyday of the electric blues. At that time, and so they were listening to that, and they, and you know, so I was around a lot of much more musical people. My family was totally non-musical, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a musician. I come from a family of no music.
Nothing.
You know, it's amazing.
The only time you ever heard music was at Christmas, Bing Crosby or something. Yeah, that was. And so they exposed me later on to things like Weather Report, And the funny thing is, I don't know how much of the stuff I found on my own afterwards. I definitely got exposed to Ornette early. And then I went off into electronic tape music.
Yeah. Also. I'm actually into that stuff, too, like Edgar Varese.
Yeah. And there's an amazing amount out there.
I had a great professor who taught me that kind of that stuff. So, yeah I have a big love for that as well.
But so I, you know, and they were all trying to do, and they were great musicians. They were all doing rock and roll and blues and stuff. And sometimes they just let me get up there and wail. And sometimes they just say, John, don't play. Depends on how drunk everyone was. It was mostly at, like, you know, house parties and stuff like that.
Well,
and then later on, I just went off in my own direction.
Cool.
And
it's a very interesting story. I mean, I you know, you get rock band after rock band coming in here, and it's really a pleasure to get your take.
I mean, I listened to the Beatles and everything, you know, and the Stones. And
it's hard.
That.
It's hard to avoid that stuff.
And you know, and they were, and I loved them. Had a great time. The Who.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff that the Yardbirds and the Birds.
Oh yeah, a lot of birds going on in the 60s. Well. We are talking to the West Street Trio. Let's talk to Steve a little bit.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
It's your turn.
Okay. I was brought up in a musical family. My mother played piano. My father and his brother played drums. My grandfather played guitar. And my aunt played violin. And I had my first instrument when I'm from 3 to 6th grade was clarinet, because my father was a Pete Fountain fan.
So you guys were like a little Carter family kind of situation
No. It was just like, we have entertainment on Sundays, and they used to make me sing 16 Tons by Tennessee. Tennessee 84 there. Yeah, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know?
And I liked the modulation. And then, as I got older, I was really influenced by Frank Zappa. Captain Beefheart, Ornette, Sun Ra. I just happened to be in, and I never sold out.
Yep.
My biggest commercial endeavor was a Captain Beefheart tribute band called Dr. Dark. We played at this festival, Zappa Alley, 3 times. We are friends with the Zappa alumni and Beefheart alumni.
Fantastic.
I could imagine. I couldn't even imagine being around that caliber of musician.
Oh, yeah.
Like that many caliber of musicians.
Yeah, Ike Willis's birthday is like a couple days after mine, and you know.
Yeah.
It's like, and friends, Project Object, Andre Chumley from the Project Object group with the Zappa alumni in it. We opened for them a few times, and that's the groove I'm in, you know, and the normal rock will kind of boring for me. It's like, okay, I know what it is. It's a, you know, ABA 4/4 time. Okay, great.
Yep.
Next, give me something else.
You know what this reminds me of? It's like, take the Welsh language, for example. Now go with me on this. The Welsh language was spoken by like 90% of the Welsh people, and now only like about 66% of people speak Welsh, and now there's like a push to preserve that language. I appreciate you guys doing what you do, because people need to preserve this mentality about music and the analog improvisation kind of quality of music. And I think it's important that you guys exist. And hopefully we can get young people to be apprentices to you. You guys should take on interns, improv interns, and just continue this language.
They'd start as roadies. They would start as roadies.
But it's kind of a loose analogy, but it just seems like it's something that just shouldn't die, and it should be a preservation society.
Hey, we have a fan.
Yes. You do have a fan. You definitely have a fan in our fearless leader, Joel Simkus, too. That's for sure. But, you know, we are running out of time. I just wanted to say it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you guys.
We're all going
to
die.
Steve, John, Federico. But, you know, human existence will live on, and hopefully so will improv.
Done with the bloody Red King.
I like that reference. Any shows or anything you want to plug or recordings before we go?
We're playing Best Video
May 15th, Best Video in Hamden, Connecticut. Amherst, we're playing at the Mystery Train Record Store May 3rd.
Yeah.
Are we playing Stella?
I don't know.
Probably May 6th, but it's still...
We're playing with a band called Barbara.
It's my mom's
Saturday
name.
Saturday night.
Cool.
In New Milford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So now, do you have a website that you want to plug?
Yes, you can see our music, hear our music on YouTube, Bandcamp, Facebook,
and that's it.
And I think that's enough.
No. West Street Trio. Steve Chalemi, Federico Balducci, John DeVenter. It was a pleasure speaking to all of you, and it was an honor.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to you, and thank you for continuing a borderline extinct art form that we need to bring back.
The conceptual continuity of it all, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I'm Jason Lane.
Thank you, Jason.
I'm Jason Lane. It's 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, West Street Trio. Again, check them out on all sorts of social media, including our Facebook and all that jazz, if you will. But again, we have our big WMFO celebrating 30 years of On the Town with Mikey D next Thursday and Friday, the 2nd and 3rd of May. Headlining Thursday, Permafrost gets back together. And on Friday, the lights out. And Joel wants you to know there will be cake. And it'll be a gluten-free cake and a vegan cake, so everyone can have some.
All right.
I leave you, my friends, with the West Street Trio on the Town with Mikey D. Have a wonderful evening.